to our pastor, Pastor Clifford J. Wilson.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad to see all of you today. And I praise the Lord for you. I thank God for what he's done in your life and what he's already. All right? Praise the Lord. Praise God. The word of God in Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 10. Verse 1, 11 through 10, that's not correct. But that's what I have, and I know it's wrong, so I sent it to my daughter, and that's how she did it. It's 11 through 20. All right. I just caught it. I apologize. I mean, it's on my page, too, but I never saw it. Verses 11 through 20. Luke chapter 1, verse 11 through 20. Praise the Lord. And my daughter, who's very, very sharp, didn't catch it either, because she's 11 through 10. We're not going backwards. Amen. God bless you all. We're going to read from the Word of God in the New Living Translation. Praise the Lord. If you don't have that translation, you can listen, and I promise you I'll read it verbatim, and I will read it accurately. Oh, we have it on the board, okay? Just follow along with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. All right, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the incense altar. While Zechariah was where? In the sanctuary. Where are we? All right, so we're in good company, aren't we? Hallelujah. So the Bible says in verse 12, Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. Who did he see? Ah, yeah, you're with me. Praise the Lord. All right. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Amen. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John." Verse 14, "You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. 15, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." All right. Isn't that powerful? Verses 14 through 17. Isn't that powerful? Praise the Lord. Now let's move on. Just keep that in mind, because this is very important. Verse 18. Zechariah's response to what the angel has said. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Thank you very much. When I read these verses, I was encouraged by the words of the angel to Zechariah. In verse 13, "God has heard your prayer." Isn't it interesting that the angel had to prepare Zechariah to receive good news, the answer to his prayer, before he could even give him the message from God? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? We pray all the time, but are we ready to receive the answer that God gives us? That's the question. Am I ready to receive the answer? And the reason is because a lot of times we don't really believe that God is hearing our prayer. Praise the Lord. But I want to tell you today that God has heard your prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God has heard my prayer. Bless his name forever. Bless his name forever. Bless his name forever. That ought to encourage somebody right now. Because if you're like me, you've been praying. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. But sometimes we can be in a position, hallelujah, that we're just so discouraged. We've already resigned ourselves that God is not going to answer this prayer. Hallelujah. Now, once Zechariah, I'm going to shorten his name a little bit from time to time. Once Zach was calm enough the angel gave him the message from God, verses 14 through 17. He gave him the answers. Look what he said. You will have great joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And many will rejoice at his birth. And if you look at all those other verses, it says, and he will do this, and he was going to do this, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and he. Everything that the angel talked about was what God was going to do, hallelujah, for the man, the child, and the gift that he was giving him. That's it. Isn't that wonderful? I'm trying to keep calm, praise our God. Because if you don't realize it, God has spoke to Mount Pisgah. And he's given us an answer to prayer that we've been praying for a long time. Glory to God. I must admit, Brother Bonnie, hallelujah. Glory to God that I'm not knowing for sure that I'm always ready to hear what the answer is. Say amen. Hallelujah. How many of you been praying a long time for something? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. And it has not happened yet. I want to encourage you today. This is what God told me to tell you. Hallelujah. That don't be discouraged. Hallelujah. He has heard your prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go back. Hallelujah. Go back to verse where did we start? 11? Go back to verse 11. What is that word right there? What does that mean? As time is happening, as things are going, things are happening. While what? While Zechariah was what? While he was in the sanctuary. Now, if you read the scripture and you read that whole chapter, it'll tell you if you understand that Zechariah was a priest and it was his duty to be in the temple a certain time. And so while he was doing his regular duties, while he was doing what he was supposed to do, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Hallelujah. Maybe that's why sometimes we are not ready to receive the answer, because we're not where we're supposed to be and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Praise God. But in Job and Zach's case, praise the Lord, he was in the right place. Somebody said it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know when there was going to be the right time. And just because it was in Zach's time to be in the sanctuary, I'm not saying that you need to be in the sanctuary. I'm just saying that that's what it is. That's what this is saying, so that's what I'm saying. But I tell you right now, the Lord Jesus said in answer to the question of the woman at the well, he said, the Lord God is seeking people to worship him in spirit and truth. It doesn't matter what place you're at, in this mountain or any other mountain. Hallelujah. So you need to be in the right place, sisters and brother. You need to be in the right place. And we sung that song, there's nothing worth more. There's nothing compare to your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Love that song. Thank you for singing it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So Zach was in that place, okay? Now, once he was calm enough, he gave him the message from God in verses 14 through 17. But it appears that from the context of Zechariah's question, in verse 18 to the angel, everything that the angel said past the last sentence in verse 13 was a blur. Look at it. Wait, go back to 13. He says, don't be afraid. That's the first thing he had to do was calm him. So he calmed him. He says, God has heard your prayer. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son and you're to name him John. Everything else. Right there. It's like, boing, yong, 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 yong. Bam. That's right. Don't look at me funny. I'm talking to you. Praise our God. You never know what God's going to do. Am I right? You say, let me move on. Verse 14, you will have great joy and gladness. You will have great joy and gladness. You're going to have another son. What'd you shake your head for? Frank? You will have great joy. Don't you laugh. You ain't near as old as Sarah was. So now y'all know how Sarah felt. And he said, Sarah, why you laugh? I didn't laugh. Yes, you did laugh. No, don't turn your head. See, we're not ready. We're not ready. We're not ready for the supernatural action powers of God. He said, you will have great joy and great gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Look at that. Isn't that great news? Wouldn't you want to be a part of that? For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcohol drinks. He will be filled with Holy Spirit even before his birth. Hallelujah. By the way, it's interesting that he said that. He would be filled with Holy Spirit, but it never gave us any evidence of him speaking in tongues. That's just a thought. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. Hello. 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 There's not one instance in the preaching and teaching of John where you heard him speak in tongues. Never even talked about it. Hello. Hallelujah. It was a different time. Hallelujah. But the same God. Amen. I'm just trying to say, sometimes people preach and teach a doctrine that's not really biblically defensible. It's not really biblically defensible because it doesn't say it anywhere in the scripture. All right. And know what it says? For he be great in the eyes of the Lord, he must never touch wine or alcohol, and he will turn away, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. All this is good stuff. He will be a man with the spirit of power of Elijah. Now, you would think that he would say, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? He will prepare the people of the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. That means your children will be obedient. You like that part, right? That means your children will be shown up obedient because their hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children. And he would cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom. Lord Jesus! Every pastor in town would say hallelujah for that one. Every pastor. He would cause those who are what? To accept. Praise the Lord. Look at that. Move on. He will be a... Was that it? Yeah. And so, after all that good news, Sister Pam, the only thing this man could say was, I saw all them faces out there, especially Mother Myrna. How can this be? Glory to God. Sister Vaughn, you ain't half-stepping. You was laughing just as hard, too. Praise the Lord. Zachariah said to the angel, how can this be? How can I be sure this will happen? How can I what be sure? In other words, how can I be sure that God is saying what he's saying? Could be, huh? And I mean, that's how it is with me. I told the people on Monday night, I mean Thursday night Bible studies, and we're speaking from 37th chapter of Ezekiel, and God says, took him by spirit and took him, said, go into a valley of dry bones. And they were exceedingly dry bones, in a valley of dry bones. That sounds like a cemetery to me. Huh? Yeah. He took him by the hair, said, not by the hair, but he took him in a vision to a cemetery. And it's almost like he said, Ezekiel, can these people get up? Can they get up? Now, I'm not talking about a recent cemetery. I'm talking about the scripture said they were exceedingly dry. They had been there for a while. All the flesh had already gone off them, but it's a strange thing. The bones were still there. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So here it is. He says, how can I be sure? I am in what? Am I? He knows what he's talking about. Praise the Lord. Hello. All the young folks in the world, you know, when you're young and the hormones are going crazy, you think it's going to be like that forever. Man, she's enjoying this. Praise God. You think it's going to be just like that forever. Yeah. Isn't that right, brother? Man, I know. Come on, Zanya, say it for me. Shoot. Praise God. Shoot. Praise the Lord. I'm an old man. My wife is along in years. Let me get back to my notes. It seems that all Zachariah heard was, your wife's going to have a son. This, of course, it triggered some intriguing questions that invaded my mind. Question number one, was Zachariah still praying for a child in view of verse 18? That's the first question that came to my mind. Is there some things in your life that you used to pray for, but somehow or another, you just don't pray for that no more? Don't be surprised if an angel don't come and tell you, if the word don't come to you and say, look at you looking at me funny and like that shaking your head and stuff. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah! This is a word from God. God wants you to be encouraged to know he's heard your prayer. It doesn't matter how long ago you prayed it. Doesn't matter how much time has passed. God has heard your prayer. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now. My wife is also well along in years. The Bible does not tell us how long Zach and Lizzie had been praying for a child. However, a reasonable approximation would be they probably would have been praying for about 70 plus years. By 70 plus years. Anybody been praying for something now for 70 years? But 70 plus years. 70. Somebody say 70. 70. 70 years. 70 plus years. Hallelujah. And that's being conservative, Brother Boney. If they were married at the age of 20 years and they were 90 years old, that means it would be 70 years they've probably been praying, because they've been praying. They wanted a child ever since they were born. You understand? Because in that time, it was an embarrassment and it was a reproach not to be able to have babies. So you know they were praying hard. And it was a concern. Thank God Liz didn't try to do what Sarah did. Once was enough. Perhaps they were as old as Abraham and Sarah. Then that would make the 70 years too few years. If I had to hazard a guess, I would say that Zach and Sarah, Zach and Liz had stopped praying for a child and resigned themselves to what seemed to their apparent childless fate. That's what I would say. By this time, they ain't praying for a child no more, because it appears that that's going to be their fate in life. Somebody's not going to have a baby. So maybe we're just those. That's us. I had resigned myself to the fate, praise God, that I was going to retire from Mount Pisgah, turn this over to someone else, and let a young person take it on. But God said no. God said no. God said no. My wife has to work about 3 more years, and that was my part of my plan. Uh-oh, not that many? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, but God said so. Amen. So I don't know. All I know is that was my plan. But how many of you know if you tell God you got a plan, that's like telling God a joke? Also, Zechariah appears to be really surprised when the angel told him, and that leads me to believe he had stopped praying about it, he had forgot about it. He really seemed surprised and questioned the validity of the divine word. He just didn't question the angel. He questioned the validity of God's word. Hello. When God speaks, that don't question his word. He said he looks over his word, and God's his word over his name. Amen. That's right. Listen, God honors his word over his name. Hallelujah, because his word is his name. Hallelujah. His word is his bond. His word is who he is. Hallelujah. How about you? Is your word who you are? Is your testimony who you really are? Lord Jesus, have mercy. Hallelujah. Zechariah appears to be really surprised. His questions seems to infer, I've been praying a long time for a child while I was still physiologically in my prime. I've been praying for a long time when I was still young, when I still was in my prime. Now you going to come here and tell me I'm going to have a baby now? I can hardly walk home after I've been here for a while. Where am I going to get the energy to have a child? Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. That's what Sarah did. Sarah laughed. She said, am I again to have pleasure in my youth? Woo-hoo! Yeah! She remembered. Some of us done got so old we forgot. Somebody, who said that? I know that's right. Rose? No. She gonna have to tell me something different than that. Praise the Lord. You ain't forgot. Just like riding a bicycle. Sister Shirley, why are you shaking your head? Praise our God. God is able to bring life to everything. Somebody say amen. Amen. Ooh. He says, I'm an old man and my wife is also well along the years. Listen, Brother Bonnie, you know what? He was informing or reminded the angel of his physical limitations and the barriers that could or would prevent the fulfillment of God's decree. Lord have mercy. How many times, glory to God, has God said something and in your mind you already start putting up the barriers as to what would prevent or cause God not to do what he said? Right here, even in this message today, you don't have to tell me. I've been talking to y'all and y'all looking at me laughing. Yeah, you're putting up them barriers. Already you're saying, this won't let it happen. That won't let it happen. Oh, God, have mercy, Jesus. And in the same chapter, Sister Julia, not even the relationship between the conventional relationship will prevent what God wants to do. Amen. Come here, Mary, testify. The Bible said one day she was out there, same chapter, and the scripture says, hey, good looking, how are you? You are highly favored of the Lord. Woo! You're going to have a baby. I don't even have a boyfriend. How's that going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Hallelujah. So y'all looking at me funny. Well, Pastor, if it happens, it's sure going to have to be God. Of course it's going to be God. Who you think it's going to be? Who you think you're talking to here? Zachariah? You're not talking to a Rudy Poop, you're talking to God. And the angel made that clear to him. He said, my name's Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. And it was him. He sent me to you to tell you this. Who you think you're talking to? Who do you think you're dealing with? As I said, he even informed or reminded the angel of the physical limitations or barriers that could or would prevent the fulfillment of God's decree. As a result of his unbelief, revealed in the way he questioned God in somewhat a sarcastic attitude, can't you just kind of see it? Kind of sarcastic. How's this going to be? I'm too old for that. Do you know how old I am? God, do you know how old I am? That's what he said. Huh? You got to read it like it is. Don't be trying to make it seem like he's so holy. He was questioning the validity of God's word. God's divine word. It is God's divine word that Mount Pisgah is going to build this church. It is God's divine word and will that God's going to bless us to build that housing complex. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why he chose us? Because we're surely not the biggest church in Evanston. We're surely not the best church in Evanston. Why, we have to struggle through the worship service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We have to struggle through Sunday school. We don't have enough Sunday school teachers. We're struggling, praise our God. So why did God choose us? Because the scripture says he chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He chooses the weak things of this world. Hallelujah. You hear that, Joy? Glory to God. You don't have to be the best. All you have to do is be who he calls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Did he call you? Did he call you? Did he call you? If you know he called you, praise our God, you can start rejoicing because he heard your prayer. He has heard. Lord. Harold, God has heard your prayer. You've been praying for 20 years. Keep on praying. The song says, for the Lord is nigh. Just keep on praying, Gerald. Hallelujah. He'll hear your cry. For the Lord has promised and his word is true. Just keep on praying. He'll answer you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In verses 19 through 20, the omniscient God judged and silenced him for a reason. Zechariah's question was answered with a rebuke, as if to say, how do you know it will happen? As if to say, angel said, how do you know it will happen? God said so. How you know it's going to happen, Pastor? God said so. How you going to know it's going to happen, Sister Valon? How do you know it's going to happen, Donna? How you know it's going to happen, Myrna? Hallelujah! Gerald, how you know it's going to happen? Bakata, shikere, basata. How you know it's going to happen, Pablo? He didn't say nothing. Praise God. He's still like Zechariah. He's wondering, how is it going to happen? Amen. God said so, Rose. Did he say so? Yes, sir. Whatever God says, he's going to fulfill it. All you got to do is keep reading. You'll see what it says. Verse 19 says, then the angel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at where? At the proper time. At the proper time. I don't know when the proper time is, do you? But God knows. That's in his hands, isn't that right, Frank? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! 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 Thank you, Jesus. But until then, my heart will go on singing, Sister Shirley. But until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my heart beholds the city. Until the day my God calls me home. Hallelujah! Until that time. Whew. Until that proper time. He is in his hands. Braboni. A preacher being hampered in exercising his gift and calling. I'm so glad that God didn't do me like that. Because God gives you a gift and a calling to preach, and he tells you, since you didn't believe what I said, Clifford, you ain't going to be able to preach no more until this new building get built. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. If you notice, Mary asked the same question. Mary said, how can this be? I don't even know a man. But her question was not like Zechariah's. Zechariah was a priest. He knew better. He knew about Abraham and Sarah. Hallelujah to God. He was ministering in the sanctuary, doing the priestly duties. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. You may be in a position where God is using you. You may be doing your duty, but you better make it sure that you understand it's just more than a duty. You better have it in heart what you're doing, because you may be called upon to explain why you're doing what you're doing. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I'm asking you right now. If you say, God, heal me so I can walk. Heal me, Lord. Touch my back and heal me. And if God said, why, what are you going to tell him? Hello. Listen to what I said. I said Zechariah was hampered, but he wasn't bound so that he couldn't do it. He was hampered. He wasn't disqualified. That's the word. Because listen, you don't have to have your mouth to preach. Hello, somebody. As a preacher, I'm only dependent upon my mouth and my voice, I'm in bad trouble. Hello, somebody. Hey, hey, hey. That's my gift and calling. But God can silence my gift. He can restrict my gift. But praise our God, if he don't, I just, Lord, please don't take your joy from me. Whatever you do, Lord, please don't take your joy from me. Hallelujah. Not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer. Just let me walk with you. I just want to be in your presence. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more. I don't know the rest. They can never come close. Nothing can compare. You're my living hope. Hallelujah. You get it? Whew. A preacher being hampered in exercising his gift and calling. Talk about binding and loosing. God bound him, and no one but God could loose him. And he did that in verse 64. Hello? That's why I'm so careful about trying to loose people, because God may have bound them. Hello? Now, that doesn't mean I won't pray for you. And if I pray for you and I believe that God has heard my prayer and you're still bound, well, hey, Keep on talking to God. Huh? Amen. Because God has a greater plan than my prayer. Amen. Hello, somebody. Amen. Hello. Amen. Get that in your heart and your mind. Get that in your heart and your mind. How many of you willing to do and be and go where God said to go? What an awesome experience and a message of good news that cannot be fully shared and appreciated until your Holy Spirit gag order is lifted. Your act of unbelief of God's word is the reason for your temporary injunction. You have been restricted from talking about what God is doing for a season. Hallelujah, God. You sit here if you want to and don't realize what I'm saying. But man, there's nothing worse than want to praise God and don't have no unction to praise him. And you have a desire to sing, but you can't sing. How many of you ever been in a place, a position where you got laryngitis? And you want to sing, but you can't sing. You want to talk and say something, but you can't. You want to give God glory, but you can't. Hello? You better get this in your heart and your mind. God is saying something to you. You better do it while you got a chance with all your mouth and all your mind. And guess what? You better know what you're praying about. You better know what you're talking about. You better know why you're shouting. You better know why you're praising God. You better know why you're worshiping. You're not just worshiping because the song sounds good. You better be worshiping because it's in your heart. As the song says, it's in my heart. This melody of love divine. It's in my heart that since I'm his and he is mine. It's in my heart. How can I help but sing and shine? It's in my heart. It's in my heart. Before you judge Abraham, ask yourself these questions. Not judge Abraham, but Zechariah. Ask yourself these questions. Am I surprised when God reveals through his divine word that he had heard my prayer? Do I remind or inform God of any and all of the limitations or barriers that will prevent his word from being fulfilled in my life? Have I experienced God's judgment to allow the consequences of my doubts to be limitations or barriers to my joy for a season? Ask yourself all those questions. Who among us could disparage Zach and Liz? No one that I know. Unfortunately, Sister Carol Bell, there's always an accuser of the brethren somewhere. Always a judgmental soul somewhere who will allow themselves to know your situation better than you do. And is willing and ready to advise you during your challenge or time of trial. You know what you should do, honey? If that was me, I remember, I'm guilty of that. I know this one brother that was in our church and he had gone and he was doing some stuff that he shouldn't have been doing and he was caught up in stuff like that. And when I was young, and I said, man, I know what, if that was me, I'd be praying and fasting day after day. And one day the Lord reminded me, said, you remember when you said that? I said, oh, God. Found myself in the same place. But I wasn't fasting and praying every day. Like I admonished in my mind. He should be doing. You know how it is. We got everybody who know what everybody else is supposed to be doing. Especially during that time of challenge. Hello? You know, I ain't perfect, but it always starts like that. These people ain't doing what God want them to do. Oh, yeah. And it may be true, but you better learn how not to allow yourself to be an accuser of the brethren. Don't be judgmental. God didn't call us to be judgmental. He called us to be judges. Whew. My word to you today, as I'm coming to a close, is never allow what they say, what they think, you know, that infamous they, how they look at you or how they don't look at you. Don't you allow that to influence how you think or what you do. The only guaranteed way to overcome that evil trap is to follow the admonition of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, abbreviated for our time. It says, strip off every weight, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this how? By keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and protects our faith. And this is a prayer. Father, thank you for the good news of your love and favor which you lavished on me. You sought me out. You assured me that you have heard my prayer. You decreed that my petition was granted and declared that the answer was being fulfilled. Father, I confess that I have allowed doubt, fear, and pride to be limitations and barriers to receiving your divine word. Father, I pray for your forgiveness. I pray that I will so live in obedient faith that the joy you give me will not be restricted in any way by the limitations or barriers of doubt, fear, or pride. I pray that my lifestyle and character will not prevent me from shouting, sharing, and declaring the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your boundless mercy and grace, which I now receive afresh daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me, please.